Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, before we begin, let me just say that I think on the hierarchy of most favorite holidays, Father's Day is ranked, I think, 22nd. Arbor Day is before Father's Day. So I hope you all plant a tree today. I don't know. But I do want to take just a few moments to wish you a very happy Father's Day, my brothers in Christ. There is no greater vocation for the benefit of your wife and your children. God bless you. It is a thankless vocation in a culture and in a world that seeks to diminish and deride, and yet you continue to hold true to God's word as your role as husband. And wife, or husband and father to your wife and your children. But I'm sorry, brothers, y'all got trumped today because it's Holy Trinity. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. It is the only Sunday of the church year that is dedicated to an event rather than to a person of the Bible. It's a day dedicated to a doctrine as you just confessed in the Athanasian Creed. Is an essential doctrine even for salvation. It is the Catholic faith. Now let me just parenthetically just say, for those of you who might be visiting with us today, that word Catholic is a lowercase c. It means universal. The Catholic Church is bigger than the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Church is merely a part of the Catholic Church. I'll get emails over that one now, or at least comments on Twitter. I love it. Let them bring it. This isn't just a teaching that is one to be relegated to Sunday school or even vacation Bible school. It is a teaching that is foundational. Now, let me just go ahead and state at the onset, if you don't believe in the Trinity, if you cannot confess the Trinity, you are not a Christian. Period. There are lots of other religions out there that even trace their heritage to the Abrahamic faith, the faith of Abraham, that may be a better fit if you want to reject the clear teachings of Scripture. Even within those who call themselves Protestants, there is a lot of wishy-washiness, a lot of limp backbones that show us that certain men, certain pastors are unable to stake their claim upon this biblical foundational confession of the Christian faith. There is one God in three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We confess this doctrine, we confess this biblical truth, not because it makes sense to human reason, because it doesn't. If you were to engage with a Muslim, the very first thing that they will attack when they come after you is this doctrine, because they know it's a foundational doctrine. And if they can persuade you or move you or cause you to doubt on this foundational doctrine, then they know that you will fall prey to their lies. You see, if our enemy knows that this is a foundational doctrine, should we, as adherents to this biblical teaching, not seek to fully incorporate it into our lives? I hope that you found the recitation of the Athanasian Creed helpful, for it answers, at least clarifies, much about this doctrine. And yet at the same time, I also know and do concede that according to human standards, it doesn't really make sense. Three does not equal one, and one does not equal three. And yet, at the same time, we have no trouble confessing and announcing that we do understand how God's math in holy matrimony makes sense, that one man and one woman equals one. It is God's divine power in the things and in the areas that oftentimes are not able to be perceived of with our own human reasonableness. You see, brothers and sisters, we don't believe in the Trinity because it's reasonable. We don't believe in the Trinity because it's logical. We don't believe in the Trinity because it makes mathematical sense. We believe in the Trinity because it's biblical. Now, there will be detractors who will say that the word Trinity is never in the Bible. Well, the word pulpit is never in the Bible either. Stained glass, as far as I can tell, is not in the Scriptures. And though the Bible may not specifically use the term Trinity, the truth of the Trinity is there repeatedly over and over and over again. There is God the Father. There is God the Son, who is co-equal with the Father in his divinity, but less than the Father in his humanity. The incarnation, God the Son, clothed himself with flesh and dwelt among us. We believe in the Holy Spirit, given to us, proceeding from the Father and the Son, found in Scripture. And to reject the Trinity is not to disagree over fine points of theology. To reject the Trinity is not to disagree over something that may seem to some as a non-essential. It is a rejection of how and who God is, who is the one who saves us. Nicodemus may not have been able to perceive it when he came to Jesus at night, but he was not just coming to a rabbi. He was speaking to the very God, Jesus. And this very God, Jesus, the God-man, Jesus, reveals to Nicodemus the fullness of this great doctrine, as well as the truth of our salvation. Let's take a moment and just think about this gospel lesson. If you were in Bible study this morning, we fleshed some of this out. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He's confused. He's curious. He's a Pharisee. That's a particular camp of religious teachers among the Jews. And he sees something divine in Jesus, but mainly in Jesus' works. He's not able to perceive yet who Jesus is, although he knows that because he does the works, there has to be something special about him, because even Nicodemus confesses that no one could do this unless God is with him. He's not able to see the kingdom of God. He's not able to distinguish yet the fullness of that which has come from above. And Jesus responds to him. Unless you are born from above, that's what really born again means. Unless you're born from above, unless you're born again, you cannot be saved. Nicodemus is baffled by this. How can a man enter into his mother's womb again? But Jesus isn't speaking of a physical birth here. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And it's here in these words, in those words from the God-man Jesus, that we see the work of the Holy Spirit. This Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son. It is this Spirit who gives rebirth. It's not through our will. It's not through our efforts. But it is through the Word and the Sacrament. Through holy baptism. This is what we confess in our unaltered Augsburg Confession in Article 9. Baptism is necessary for salvation, and that through baptism is offered the grace of God. We do not climb up to God. That's what other religions do. They tell you how to get to God. Christianity tells us how God came down to us. And the one who speaks to Nicodemus isn't just merely a prophet. He's the Son of God. He's the second person of the Trinity. And Jesus reveals himself as the one who must be lifted up. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus is saying that he will be lifted up, but not upon a throne, at a great castle, or even the temple itself, but the cross, where he would be lifted up for the salvation of the world. And just as the people of Israel could look upon the bronze serpent on the stake, so too do we when we come to the Christ on the cross, do we receive this gift of salvation. When the Holy Spirit has dragged us, has drawn us, has raised us, and has birthed into us faith. And then Jesus speaks the words that stand at the heart of all of the Christian faith. Words that are recognizable even to those who are outside of the Christian faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My brothers and sisters, do you hear the Trinity in this? The Father so loved the world that he gave the Son, and by the Spirit, faith is created in the hearts of those who believe. The next time we do a baptism, I pray that you'll pay attention, because we do not baptize in names. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One name, one God, and yet three persons. I said already, to be a Christian is to believe in this triune God. The Athanasian Creed confesses it boldly. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith, the universal faith, the Christian biblical faith. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. Now I know at first look this could seem like some philosophical posturing, but it's not. It's really, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, it's a line that's drawn in the sand. Don't cross this line. The Trinity is not some sort of optional upgrade to your Christianity. It is the very content of the Christian faith itself. It's not some mystery that was invented by scholars. It is the mystery that is revealed by God himself in his word. The unity of the divine essence, and yet the three distinct persons, the Creed says, is how God has made himself known. I know. The rational part of you seeks to try to understand, just like Nicodemus, I don't get this, I don't understand this. How can I believe it if I don't understand it? Well, let me say to you, my brothers and sisters, we do not believe in what makes sense to our minds as Christians. We believe in what God has spoken. Now listen, there was a time in every single one of our lives when our parents said to us, don't do this, or this is how things work. And as a child, you may not have understood it. As a child, you may not have been able to put your mind around it, but you trust it in your mom and your dad. We are the children of God. And sometimes God teaches and speaks things to us that may not make sense, not to our advanced, enlightened mind, but to our broken, sinful human intellect. To assume that we have the ability to have the mind of God. Our Lutheran forebears made this plain in the Formula of Concord, which is a part of the Lutheran Confessions. We confess, we believe, teach, and confess that the sole rule and norm according to which all teachings, together with all teachers, should be evaluated and judged are the prophetic and apostolic scriptures of the Old and New Testament. My brothers and sisters, this is the formulation of sola scriptura, scripture alone. Scripture is supreme. Today in many church bodies and theologians will do the opposite. Aside from all of the other kinds of authorities they may think up, unfortunately, even our brothers and sisters in churches that call themselves Protestant will say, oh, we believe in the Bible, but the truth is once you begin to talk to them, they believe not in the Bible, but in human reason. I can't tell you how many times somebody has said to me, that doesn't make sense. God's word says that he who is baptized and believes will be saved. That can't make sense. Why is that baptism in there? Get that baptism out and I'll take it. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I know the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want that, but I don't like that baptism word. That doesn't make sense. And they do the same thing with the Trinity. How God can't be three in one, or surely, and this is what really astonishes me, somebody says God wouldn't do it that way. What? You are saying to God? God, if I were making the decisions, I would have done that differently. And so they edit God's word. They diminish parts of God's word to make it more palatable. Are there times that somebody comes to me as a Lutheran pastor and says, make this make sense? I'm sorry. I can't. Nor can I stand on my head and stack BBs. Some things I just accept on faith. Why? Because God's word says so. Luther warns us in the Large Catechism, for where God's word is preached, accepted, and believed, and bears fruit, there the Holy Cross cannot be missing. God's revelation sometimes brings conflict, not because the revelation is false, but because it clashes, are you ready, with sinful human pride. Because it's my opinion that when people read God's word and say that can't mean what it actually says, what one is saying is my reason is more important than that, and that is rooted in human pride. And the word says that pride always comes before the fall. You and I must never exalt reason over revelation. That doesn't mean reason's not important. Doesn't mean that our Christ Community Lutheran School is going to get out of learning logic and rhetoric. But that is never elevated over God's word. Even when it contradicts our sight or senses or logic, Luther even says, and I start the first class of my logic classes with Luther's quote, reason is the greatest enemy that faith has. And yet, this triune God is not merely a theological abstraction. He is living and active, and he's at work today. The Father created you and sustains you daily, our catechism teaches. The Son redeemed you on the cross and intercedes for you even right now. As we're gathered here, Jesus is right this second interceding to the Father with your name. And the Holy Spirit is active in this place, calling you by the gospel, enlightening you with his gifts, and keeping us in the true faith. Through baptism, you were born again by water and the Spirit. Through the preached word, the Spirit still opens hearts. Through the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar, the Son gives his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And in all of this, the Father's will is done. Thanks be to God. I may not understand how all of this works. You may not understand how all of this works, but we don't need to. The call of the Christian life is not to comprehend, but to believe, teach, and confess what has been revealed. So my brothers and sisters, on this Trinity Sunday, hold fast to this truth. There is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Believe it not because it's easy or logical, but believe it because this is what God says in his word, who he is. The Trinity is not of human invention. It is God's self-revelation. And in that revelation of himself, that is where we find life and salvation. That is why we confess as often as we are able. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.